Hey, Barbara. I'm starting. Thank you. Hi, welcome to the Power Greater Than Myself, Count on God's Help meeting. My name is Lauren, and I'm a compulsive overeater and your speaker for this meeting.
Hi.
Please join me in the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Before we get started, we ask that all cell phones or other electronic devices be turned off. To protect anonymity, no photography, audio, or visual recording is allowed except as recorded by the committee. Please be aware that if you are speaking or sharing up here and say your first name, your voice will be audible on the recording and you must sign a release on the table after the meeting. So then you would come up here, share, and then sign this release right here. After you speak. The opinions expressed here today are those of individual OA members and do not represent Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. Would someone please come up here and read the 12 steps? Anybody?
And read.
12 steps.
12 steps.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Barbara. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Barbara.
12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you. Would you mind following?
I beg your pardon?
Oh, do you mind? Thank you. Okay, the format for this 55-minute session is... Okay, is as follows, a short reading, then I will share for 10 to 15 minutes, followed by open sharing. Again, the topic for this section is A Power Greater Than Myself. The following is a reading from Just For Today, January 18th. The best way out is always through, Robert Frost. I used to take the long way around, avoiding problems, escaping feelings. In OA, I heard it called the easier, softer way. But is my way really easier? No. It is the hard and painful life of hell way. I am grateful for the awareness of old patterns. Today, I count on God's help to remove those faults I expose when I take the honest way out of my difficulties. For today, practice of steps 4 through 9 prepares me for facing rather than trying to escape my problems. Okay, I will now share my experience, strength, and hope on the topic. Could you give me 10 and 5? Thank you. Hi, I'm Lauren, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi,
Lauren. Hi. Thank you so much, Diane, for asking me to lead today. I'm very happy to be at the birthday party. And to qualify, I've been in program for, it'll be almost 9 years. It'll be 9 years this summer, but I'm almost 3 years abstinent, and I'm down 115 pounds from when I came into program. I have some pictures I'll show you. They're very beat up, and they're about 6 months before I came into program. And it's funny, I try not to think about what I'm going to say before I speak, because I do like to try and have God, and this session is a power greater than myself, and I try to have God guide me, especially since I don't feel like I am a very good linear speaker, and I'm usually all over the place. But of course, I did try to think about it instead, and since this is a meeting with a focus, and I didn't want to, you know, I'm not going to really be sharing a lot of my history, I actually thought of, it totally cracked me up, Vini, Vidi, Edi. I came, I saw, I ate. That sums up my, not that Edie is Latin for, I'm going to try and figure that out, what that is though. I came and I saw and I ate. That sums up my experience. I've wanted to talk about God and what God means to me and how God helps my program and my life. I have so many different thoughts about it. When I came into program, I had been looking for a spiritual life for years, like leading up to it. I didn't realize what it all meant. I knew that I had like a hole in me of some sort. I figured it was like a romantic relationship. Now I figure it is both a relationship with myself and a relationship with God, which I am trying to cultivate, now, like consciously try and cultivate. And I know that in this program, you know, we're definitely encouraged to cultivate a relationship with God. But then also it's really recent for me to want to cultivate one with myself. Especially I was just talking to my sponsor about this last week, and we were talking about how I'm not always nice to myself. I don't always say nice things to myself in my head. And that it makes sense that why would I want to be close to me when I am someone who is not always nice to me? So that made a lot of sense. So in addition to like wanting to be close to God, I want to be close to myself too. And I can ask God to help me with that. But when I came in, I have a religion. It's not that I didn't believe. I figured God was there. I didn't think much about it. I didn't not believe or believe or not believe. I figured there was, and I didn't think a lot about it. By working the steps, which I started right away when I got into program, and by working step two, I guess I just decided to believe. I don't know how. I did what my sponsor told me to do and what everybody here told me to do, and I wrote about it, and it made sense to me. So I started believing in a power greater than myself. I personally have a physical manifestation of a God. Right now, it is a gladiator in a big, you know, tough outfit. And to me, that means that at this point, I feel like I need a God who's going to protect me. So that's okay. That's what I need right now. But then also for me, God means a lot of things. It means sometimes God for me is my soul as compared to my brain, because for me it's been a really hard it's hard to think that my brain can't be trusted, which it absolutely cannot a lot of the time, because if my brain is supposed to keep me going, then what am I supposed to do if I can't trust myself? I feel like if I'm not allowed to trust myself, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to be listening to? So for me, I think part of me thinks about my brain as the machine. You know, it's keeping me going. It's got a job to do. You know, I think of our bodies as our bodies are kind of a machine. They're electrical impulses. Things are going. We're organic machines. We've got to keep going and do stuff. But then there's my soul, and that's what I try to listen to when I need to make decisions. About things, especially when my brain is telling me things that just don't work. That's another thing that I'm learning in this program, thank you, is that I try not to think of things as being either good or bad, especially my thoughts, definitely my feelings. They are definitely not bad. But it's whether or not they work for me. Does this work or does it not? And a lot of times, you know, a thought that I'm having, it just doesn't work. someone actually just shared at a meeting last week, and I was talking to her, and she was talking about God and about how she likes to turn towards God. And if there's a thought that pops up, you know, that sound that just, I don't know, is not working, to think, is that, you know, is there a God there? Is God in that thought? I thought that was amazing. So, you know, is that where God is? Because I do believe that God wants what's best for me. And you know why I believe it? Because I practice it. Because I've, over these 9 years, and it's taken, like, everything is taking a long time. So I keep doing it, and I keep living. I'm going to live anyway, hopefully. You know, I'm going to keep going. So I might as well keep practicing this stuff, because another 10 years is going to go by. And then hopefully I'll, you know, with the practice that I'm doing, I can, you know, feel even better. But for me, I know God works in my life because I've been asking God for help all this time, little by little, when I can remember. And the more I do it, the more I remember to do it. And then I know things work out. So it's like the cause and effect. It's like I ask God for help, and then at some point I'll realize, oh, that actually worked out. Or, oh, I felt better. Or, oh, I did that differently. And that's how I know that God works, because I actually can see it in my life. I don't have to blindly believe it just because people tell me that God works. It's like if I make a conscious effort to believe in God and to talk to God, and that's another important thing, is to try and cultivate a relationship with God like I would with people. Because if you want to be close to your family and your friends and yourself, you spend time with them and you talk to them and you do things with them and you think about them. And I think it's the same thing with God. If I maintain a relationship with God, then I will think about Him more often and utilize the help that's available to me when I can separate my brain from my soul. That's one of my big takeaways from trusting God. And I do want to add that I'll talk to God about any old situation. Like, I could be at work and the phone could ring and I'll say, God, please just help me talk on the phone right now. So even something as simple as that or something huge, I think that asking God for help at any time is appropriate. And the more I do it, the happier I am. So thank you. Okay, the meeting is now open for 3-minute pitches. Please focus your share on the topic and limit your sharing to 3 minutes to give others a chance to share. This session will end at 10:55. And if you do come up here and share and say your name, please sign this sheet afterwards.
Yes. I'm Beverly, grateful, abstaining, compulsive overeater. Thank you for your share. And power greater than myself, I love the topic. For me, the concept of higher power, I can't conceive of it as something in a higher location than myself. I think of it as vibrating higher than myself. And that really helped me, because I'm thinking, how 3D to think that there's another location and I've got to reach up for this thing. And every time I come up here, and most often in my life, I pray for the willingness to step aside and let God come in and speak the truth, speak what I need to speak at these meetings. Because after 36 years, I still get nervous coming in here. I still get nervous. And to qualify, I've been in this program for about 36 years, and the potential is pretty strong since I've been working this program, that on March 26th, I'm going to be celebrating my 8th year of abstinence. And that's after, like, all these years. I did have it in the 80s, followed by a 21-year relapse. Yeah. And so higher power, for me, you know, I have to talk about truth. A lot of people think there's only one truth. There's only one truth, yeah. To me, the definition of truth is when a person is married to their concept of the higher power. That's what I'm feeling. And there's people that will say there's only one God, there's only one truth. Yeah, there's only one abstinence, right? Yeah, let's talk about food. No. We all have different abstinences. We are not biologically the same. We are not spiritually the same. And that's what I love about this program, because I came from a family where my dad's side was born-again Christian, my mom's was Orthodox Jew. So, yeah, right. So if I didn't believe in Jesus, I was going to hell. And if I believed in Jesus, I was in hell. So, you know, so what did I do? What do I do? You know, I bowed down to Sarah Lee, the patron saint of oblivion. And it went from there, from the age of five on. And my mom's really great. She has also evolved in her concept and got out of that box of religion. And now when we talk about things and the puzzles of life, she says, God will take care of it. And for me, I don't have a physical visual of what God is. For me, it's an energy. I can feel it. I can feel when I'm in it. I can feel when I'm not in it. And I couldn't even begin to explain to you what it is for me, because it's not in 3D. It's more interdimensional for me, if you understand what that is. It's like air. How do you describe air? How do you describe love? You know, but we know it's there. It's like you can cut it with a knife. And when I am married to my higher power, it's there and everything works. And it works on an engine, something called synchronicity. If I listen to that intuition inside of me, I'm going to be in the right place, meet the right people. How do we know who we're sitting next to right now, right today? I mean, that could be the person that has the answer. And for me, if I accept an invitation, and if I go, instead of listening to this left brain intellect all the time, because thinking is not one of the tools of the program, and I'm pretty sure it's not going to be the 10th tool. Nobody ever said you have to think, and thinking doesn't work too well. For me, am I being timed?
Yeah, it just went off.
So I have to know that it's an energy that I feel. And thank you so much for letting me share.
Morning, everybody. My name's Nancy, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi.
Thank you for your share. The reason I came into these rooms was because, God, what year was it? In 2001, my whole life, I always thought I was fat. Even when I was, anorexic, skinny, vomiting in high school, I still thought I was fat. And by the time I was 27, I ate my way through Mexico and got the pictures. And I just didn't have the will anymore to use any of my tricks, binge, starve, vomit. And I went to San Francisco to visit my sister, and I was crossing the street. In the middle of the street, there was this book. And it wasn't an OA book, it was an outside, but it was the first time that I'd ever heard the term compulsive overeating. And I mean, I'm not even joking, like it was in the middle of the street in the crosswalk, and I picked it up and I started reading it, and that's what brought me to these rooms. So whenever I have a doubt, that there is a higher power, I felt like because I think so much and I'm so analytical and so quote-unquote smart, God had to be like so obvious. So obvious to be like, okay, explain this one to me. And my relationship with my higher power, I went to Catholic school for 12 years. And, when I was a little kid, I would pray. And my higher power is like a spirit that supports me, mentors me, coaches me. I always yell at my higher power. I get mad. This morning, I didn't want to... My higher power was telling me, oh, it's the big, it's the birthday party. You should go. And I was like, that sounds like a great idea. And then this morning I was like, I don't want to go. Maybe I'll just go to my morning meeting and I was driving there, and then it was like, no, I think you should go to the birthday party. I don't want to go, but here I am. And that's the nature of my relationship with my higher power. It's messy. I scream. I kick. But I need to be who I am, like all of me. And I need to have space because I grew up in a home that was very, like, controlling, and you had to be perfect, and you had to do everything right. And then I went to Catholic school, and you had to be perfect and do everything right and be a good girl. So my higher power allows me. And usually what happens for me is that God will have an idea for me, and I'll be like, I don't think so, God. Like, I think that's a bad idea. And then I'll, you know, act out, and then, like, okay, God. Like, I have to, you know, even before my food was lifted and this, and all my character defects, I mean, they're on a continuum. Like, I have to go there and try it out. And then once I'm like, okay, God, now I'm willing. But before that, like, I can't, they don't get removed until I have a willingness to let them go. And today I didn't want to come because I thought I had it all figured out. I was like, I already know that stuff. I've been in program for 13 years. And that's when I realized, like, oh, you really need to go. Thank you.
I'm Barbara. I'm a compulsive eater. Thank you very much. This is my 31st year in program. I had 13 years of abstinence and then took a 6-month break to marry a drug addict. And I have been married. I have been abstinent for the past 17 years. And my higher power is so weird that I've never encountered a sponsor who I could even explain it to. But the thing that I have seen about program, and the thing that I have seen about Overeaters Anonymous, is the same, you know, there are certain, to me, there are certain markers of if God is in a thing, if God is behind a thing. And one of them is that you can keep learning about it. You can keep advancing in it. You know, it's like walking in the desert at night. You know, there's always more starlight. There's always more distance. And that's the thing that I have found about Overeaters Anonymous, is that I've been in it. Like I said, this is my 31st year in program. My life has changed enormously, and yet there's always more to be learned. There's always more to be understood. There's always more stuff that I don't understand. And this infinity is one of the things that, you know, shows me that this is an appropriate path. I remember things that I was terrified about 14 years ago never came to pass. I am on a road which causes me, or which has led me into extreme anxiety around people, and it's extremely difficult for me to go to meetings or to be in these rooms, and yet I understand that this is where I need to be. And so if you're new, or if you have doubts, there's always more to the program to find. There's always more of the program to see. And to me, you know, that's like the thumbprint of God. Thank you.
My name is Jackie. I'm a compulsive overeater and alcoholic. I came into the program 25 and a half years ago, and I came in with a God. I mean, I was raised in a religious home, but we had the God of, if you're fresh to your mother, you're going to fall down and scrape your knee, God will be sure of it. If you misbehave, you will get punished, God will be sure of it. So I grew up with this concept of the guy in the sky and the big beard and the long robes with a checklist. Oh, she did it wrong. Oh, she did it wrong. She did it wrong. She did it wrong. And I wandered in here knowing that God had murdered my infant son as a punishment to me because I had done it wrong. And that had been my belief. In these rooms, somebody said, figure out what you need in a higher power. Show me to write a want ad at that time. What do you need in a higher power, and what are you willing to give back to that higher power? And that was what I started working on. And what I needed was a best friend. So I really needed that somebody would deal with listening to me whine and cry about my problems and what hurt and who did this and who did that. And the sponsor that I had was the one who said, oh, what was your part? What was your part? What was your part? And now, 25 years later, my God is my best friend. And he understands all my insanity and everything that goes on in my head and will quietly guide me in the direction that he needs me to go. And I am one of these people that I need bright, flashing, neon green arrows pointing that direction, because most of the time it's like, I can't control this. What do I do? The gift of finding a higher power for me has been a decent relationship with most of the humans that walk around on the earth, a decent relationship with myself, a size 10 body instead of a size 22 body, and a life that I thoroughly enjoy living. 2 weeks ago, God gave me the gift of allowing me to reach 73. My parents died much younger than that. And every day, because of that relationship and because of this program, I get to be around for hugs and kisses and loves from grandchildren, hugs and kisses and attention from children, and a life that I just enjoy. So if you're new and you haven't got a concept of a higher power, sit down and write a want ad. What is it you need from a higher power? And what is it that you're willing to give to that higher power?
I'm Bob, a compulsive reader, and I've been at OA 33 years, and I've never left. And I look at this room, so it reminds me of when I first came in, 2 guys and 4,000 women. But they told me when I first started, you could have a higher power, could be anything but you. You are not your higher power. And they said you can make your light bulb a higher power, and I kept the light bulb. Because I'm not my higher power. And I never did get the God concept. I grew up in a family that we just didn't have any religion in the house. But the idea is, I took away is also my higher power. And I've done a lot of service. Like I said, when I first came in these rooms, there was over 200 meetings in the valley, San Fernando Valley. Now there's about 60 or so. There's a lot of meetings. There's a meeting at every corner. It's like Chase Bank. You know, you want a meeting, they're there. They have meetings at the OA office every day at 7 o'clock in the morning. And continue. But the idea of the meetings were great. And you had whatever you want. Whatever you came here to get something. To the birthday party, you know, you're going to find something here that's going to help you. And you're going to hear something here that's going to change your life. you know, and which is great about the program. And the 12th step is, you know, always extend the hand to the person who still suffers. That's what we're here all about, service. And so I kept my higher power simple. And the main thing that told me to do is you got to do service. You got to get out there and do service, volunteer, do whatever you can. And I was involved with one program for over 17 years up at Elysian Field in Topanga, which was a clothing optional meeting. Yes, OA had it. But the idea was here, and there's people that know about us. But the idea, it was like being in a country club. You know, you look forward to going to meetings. You know, you ever, you know, think about your favorite meetings. You look forward to going to them every week. You look forward to listening to people and the fellowship and people that tell you, keep coming back, we'll love you until you love yourself. And it's true. It's true. They knew what they were talking about. I came in the beginning, most of the men stag, most of the guys were crossover from Alcoholics Anonymous. So they ran the meeting according to Alcoholics Anonymous. Tough love. You know, let go, let God, you know. Or sometimes they tell you to shut up and listen. Just hear what's being said. You know, you don't have to talk all the time. And they had it down. And I came here because I was looking forward to just getting away for a day or so. And it was good to be here. May Roseanne's soul rest in peace. She was great. I knew her. And one time they had the, you know, Beyond Our Wildest Dream, the book. Right? I had her, she autographed my book along with AJ, who was the first person in Gluttons Anonymous and the first male member of OA. And I had Maxine, those are three people in the book. And she was really some lady. She put on a good program. I think we're probably the third largest 12-step program in the world. Thank God, and thank you all.
Compulsive overeater. And my higher power has been amazing. I came in 8 years ago to a HAL meeting, and I came as a guest of a friend who had bulimia, and she was my eating buddy. I gained weight, but she didn't, and I didn't know why until she told me. And she says, would you go to a meeting with me? I got this paper, and it has the meetings in it. And I said, okay. I looked at it. I said, well, maybe there's a meeting near my house. This was Thursday morning. Right down the list was Friday morning next door to my house. The church next door to my house had the OA meeting. So God is really in my life. I raised 8 children. My program, I was abstinent 1 year. Little over a year, and I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and that was so I had to have surgery in April of 2007, and my son committed suicide the week after I had my breast cancer surgery. And it was like, okay, God, but he put me in a position where I couldn't do anything but get well, and OAs just came around me and held me in their arms, and God put me in another place. Our house was going up for sale, and well, it was, we had all kinds of things going wrong financially, and I thought, well, okay, God. And they weren't telling us they were going to foreclose. They just said, well, when things get better, let us know. You know, the bank kept saying, okay, when things get better, let us know. So I said, they're not getting any better. Because my husband retired, and then he didn't get the job he was supposed to get, and finances went kaput. And when we sold the house, we had 2 months that we had to have somewhere to stay. I was talking to my OA sponsee, and she said, "What's wrong?" Because you could see it in my voice. I said, "I don't know what to do." I said, "I got to find a place to stay for 2 months, put our stuff in storage before we can move into our other place." She said, "Well, I'm going to be gone for 2 months to Europe." She says, "You could stay at my house. I've got the big master bedroom up there. You guys are be at home." And I was like, "Oh, my God," you know. But this is how God works in your life. You have to let people know what's going on. You have to be able to be vulnerable no matter how, you know, no matter what's going on. And then people kept saying, "Well, where are you going to move to?" If you don't know, I didn't know where I was going to move to. And I kept saying, "Well, I want to move to Laguna Woods." And they says, "Well, did you do it?" I says, "And I can't do anything. You can't go and say, I want to rent a place here next month, but I don't know when." You know, you have to know time and all that. And, you know, the month before we had to move, we moved because the house sold, I found a paper. Do you ever read the Penny Saver? I never read the Penny Saver, but I read the Penny Saver, and there was this ad for a place. I went and saw it, and it wasn't going to be available till the day that we were moving out of my friend's house and the day that she was coming home. So, you know, God does have a plan. I don't know what it is, but I show up every day for it, you know, and it's one day at a time. It's all we can do. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Tracy, compulsive reader.
Hi.
It's something that I just heard about letting people know made me get up here because I think that, I see faces of people I know. You know, that this is a disease, and for me it's about isolation, and that's what keeps the disease alive, and that when I open my mouth and I let people know who I am and I'm not afraid to be vulnerable is when the blessings come into my life. And that, you know, I heard someone share at a meeting that it was either in the spiritual world or in God's world, there is no debate. And it really resonated with me because when I'm connected to my higher power and when I'm clean and my food is clean and I'm clear, things get really simple. And there is no debate. The back and forth in my head about what to do, or should I take this job, or should I do this, or should I date this person, or do this, it's gone. It's just, it falls into place. And the problem for me is that as an addict, I don't want it to be simple. I'm not comfortable with things being okay and simple. I'm not comfortable with someone just loving me for all my imperfections because I don't never had that. You know, I always had to be perfect. I always had to be this or that. So it's, you know, this program has allowed me to sort of have a new way of life, and it's a little uncomfortable because I'm not used to it. But I think that, you know, this idea of my higher power being my best friend or my boyfriend or whatever it is that it needs to be, the most important person in my life, the most important being, because it's always there. And I'm one of those people that I need the giant green arrow. I need the piano dropped in front of me 10 times because I will just walk around it, over it. It doesn't matter. I don't see it. You know, I will ask 10 people the same, you know, 10 people the same question that really I have the answer to, because my higher power is in me, and when I'm listening, it feels right. But I don't want to hear it. You know, I have to figure it out. I have to ask 10 million people, and then I go back to, oh, yeah, okay, I knew that. My first sponsor had me read in the big book about the great reality deep within. I don't think I'm getting it right. But, like, for me, that resonated as that's my higher power. You know, I have that knowing. It's intrinsically part of who I am, and that when I'm connected and clean and I'm willing to listen, the answers come. And, you know, it is, and you said, I heard the word synchronicity, and it's like, God, that's, you know, I don't believe there's any accidents. You know, I've been, I lost my job this year. This is a very tough year for me, and I've been able to walk through it abstinent, and been looking for a job, and it's just been a very humbling experience. And I called someone I used to work for, and I was a little reluctant, and I'm like, okay, I really don't want to go back there. I really don't want to do this, but maybe I'm in a different place now, and this could work. Called this person. I went and met with him this week, and 3 days after I called him, somebody quit. And I was like, okay, there's no accident. Like, it doesn't work like that. And he says, when would you like to work? I'm like, I don't know, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. He's like, okay, what hours? I'm like, this doesn't work like this, you know. So, but it does, because that's God giving me what I need when I stopped the chaos. So, I don't know, wish me all luck, Faye. Thank you.
Hi, Adrian, overeater, bulimic. I'm in the mood to just take and absorb. I'm so excited to be here. But then I thought, well, if everybody did that, we'd all just be sitting there staring at the microphone. So anyway, I got in a really bad car accident last night on my way here, and so I thought, like, okay, so I'm here and I'm achy, and my child is like really sick, but I got a room for the day, so he's up there with his the lady that's watching him, and I'm just so grateful to be here and like sitting out in the audience. Like I'm like overcome with emotion, like this idea that I'm going to get to just be here and take care of myself for the day. It's like amazing to me. So my concept of God, I was Christian Catholic. I was a born again Christian. I came in through AA and became in touch with God spiritually. I've always believed in God, but I have done many things to block him from my life. And I find I am still very capable of doing that, whether it's from cigarettes or alcohol or drugs or food. I'm in these rooms for 5 years. I've got a little over 9 months. I was down like 40 pounds. Now I'm down like 35 pounds. My abstinence is no binging and no purging. I am struggling with food choices and how I can separate myself from God with sugar and flour and things like that. So I'm not quite willing to give them up yet, but I am getting some distance. So I guess my concept of God is kind of like a combination of that God is out there, and that it's kind of like a combination of a spiritual and a scientific. If everything in the world is made up of energy molecules, including this, and we are, that God exists in each and every one of us, but that he is also a greater being than something that I'm able to comprehend, so that he's out there as well. That each of us deep inside knows of his existence and knows the proper and correct thing to do, but that we also can be very out of touch with ourselves, and we can do lots of things to block hearing his voice. So, and I also believe that he speaks to me through each of you. That's why I come to these meetings, and that's why, even though I'm a very intelligent person, I have to ask other people sometimes the simplest of things. And a lot of these slogans I really hold on to, and I just think that there's such brilliance in them. And then I was just in the other room, and someone was talking about that if there was God in it, that there was this thing that you could keep going for it, that that there was always more to learn or more to be revealed. And that made a lot of sense to me. So I think I heard a buzzer. Thank you so much for letting me share. And I'm so grateful to be here, and that you all are. And it's so fun to see people that I see in regular meetings.
I'm Lori, compulsive overeater. I heard a little voice in my head that said, you don't have a God. But it was a question. Anyway, I definitely do have a God. I make it very complicated for myself. I tend to overcomplicate everything. I've been in the program for a long time, and I do know there's a God. And I do know that when I'm working the steps and my food's clean, when I'm calling my sponsor, that when I'm doing like physical activity, when I feel the wind, you know, certain things like that, I'm like, you know, I get this big sense of relief that everything's going to be okay. That's my God, that feeling right there. When I complicate things, it's because I think I should be able to touch him, feel him. He should be there, you know, when I think he should be there. Or if I'm overcomplicate concepts like abstinence, I find that I put a wall up all the time. It doesn't even have to be with food, alcohol, drugs, or cigarettes. It could be just with my own thinking. My thinking is my worst enemy. So if I just simplify things in my life and I think about the really basic things like my son, my daughter, the wind, the way that my life turns around in ways that I can't foresee it happening, but I look back and I say, wow, that's just amazing. I never would have thought it would have turned out like that. That's when I know that there's a God. What I do when I'm really confused is I make sure I talk to a lot of OA people who can remind me there's a God, that I read the literature that can remind me that there's a God, that I write. Mainly talking on the phone, I probably talk to about 4 to 6 people a day, either that I make phone calls to or people that call me. So I do know that there's one, but I also know that I get in the way very, very much. And I don't know how that's going to actually change or develop. But that's what kept me from getting up initially, because I thought, what am I going to say? Because I'm just so screwed up when it comes to a concept of God. But, you know, I think that way about myself and lots of things. So I'm not perfect, and I don't have to have a perfect conception or to be able to explain it, but I know that it's there. So that's it. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Kathy. I'm a compulsive overeater. And the thoughts that are going through my head, I'm very grateful to hear everybody. I have a problem with not wanting help. And the way I handle it is I kind of pretend I don't need the help and kind of show a little contempt or like kind of laugh or look down on the person that's offering to help me. Like, God, you know, what do I need that for, you know? And I have a friend who has a real serious illness. And it's one of those things where nobody knows what's causing it. How do you treat it? And I saw something in a magazine that was just kind of minorly related. I cut it out. And I go, oh, maybe she'd be interested in this. It's, you know, some kind of blood test or something. And I thought, well, she's just going to laugh at me. People have given her things all the time, and, oh, I read this, I heard about that. And she's going to have the same attitude I probably would have had, like, oh, Kathy, what makes you think I need this stupid magazine article when I've been to, you know, 500 doctors? And so I gave it to her, and she just said, thank you so much. Thank you for thinking of me. And I go, you know, it wasn't about the little magazine article. It was that I thought of her and I cared about her enough to take this little article and hand it to her, you know, with no expectations or anything. And so what I'm seeing is by showing contempt for the small offerings of help from other people, I'm really showing contempt for God and putting myself in that position of being above God, you know, of knowing better and, quote, not needing the help and being this self-reliance and self, you know, self-everything.
I'm going to end with something funny. I saw the sitcom yesterday. This guy, his wife had left him, and he wanted to go to some social event, and he wanted somebody to go with him. And they go, well, why do you need me to go with you? And he says, I have to show everybody that I'm independent and self-reliant, so I need you to come with me because I can't go alone. So if my goal is really self-reliance and independence and maturity, let's change the word to maturity, because I do tend to be very dependent on people, the key is to ask God to come with me and be open to his help and his companionship, not to, you know, be this back and forth between I don't need you and won't you please take care of me kind of thing. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, everybody. Hearing about everybody's higher power for all this time has been amazing. It is now time to close this session. I would like to thank those of you who gave service at this session and all of you for attending. After a moment of silence, please join hands as we close with the Serenity Prayer.